In my own thinking was that we were going to close the meeting at 1 o'clock and have time to go to our offices and reach through our mail, because we've not been able to do that, I think, for the past 2 weeks. But we are here now. I want to believe that this meeting itself is not going to take long, as we do not have many items on the agenda. We'll therefore allow staff to respond to few issues that they were expected to get, exact information they were expected to get and bring to the portfolio committee. May I explain the fact that if there's one thing that comes in subs is the seniority and the brigadier. For me, brigadier is something big. If you are a brigadier, for me, the word brigadier is also big. Generally, in subs, it's a status, but it's too general. I'm joking. But brigadier, you know the word brigadier. I can see General Mazibuga is worried. He's very worried. And I'm just really joking. I've not taken time to get to know this, to get to used to this rank. Only the rank I know is that of a brigadier, and of course general. Then there will be your lieutenant general, the colonel, the colonel. It's written colonel, but it's colonel. So, yes. Let me allow the department to take us through so that, if possible, probably within 40 minutes, we can really close this meeting.
Chairperson, thank you. The issues that you have requested us to do, Chairperson, I've prepared a letter with the annexes on those four people's appointments, which I've handed over to the Chairperson now, the proof of the written reasons as to why we have go the route of Section Regulation 45, 8, and 9. And then General Skipper must just give us an explanation on the calculations that you have requested, Chairperson. I'll hand over to General Skipper.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, we've made the calculations, and I think for purposes of this discussion, we focus on a Section 35 vis-a-vis an early retirement and not staying in service or a resignation per se. The fact of the matter is the Section 35 is more beneficial than an early retirement. A Section 35 has the following two elements which are added compared to an early retirement. The first one is a salary of approximately 6 months plus up to 5 years, should you still have the 5 years up to retirement age. For instance, if I may use an example, if you take a person, one of those persons, any one person, and you look at the two comparative figures, the police payment in terms of the 35 would be in the vicinity of 1.4 million. Well, the police payment in terms of the early retirement will be in the vicinity of 52,000. In terms of the GPF, remember it's estimates, it's not precisely actuals, because we're now estimating according to the pension fund. The GPF will be 1.3 million in terms of a 35 and 1.183 million in terms of an ordinary early retirement. So the lump sum will be more. And then secondly, if you look at the monthly payment that the individual will receive from the GPF, not SAPS, from the GPF, in terms of a Section 35, for instance, would be 30,705 rand, or in terms of an early retirement, 26,724 rand. So there will be a 4,000 rand difference between the 35 and the early retirement in terms of the monthly payment, and there will be a bigger lump sum being caused by the additional years that the person has received, as well as a termination salary in advance. That is in terms of the comparative model between a early retirement at the time, where obviously you take some penalties because you go early, and then a Section 35. Then secondly, I think it was also requested that we indicate the additional amounts. Now, these additional amounts for the different programs are not verified or certified yet. It must still go through some approval process and obviously submittance by Parliament, by the Minister of Finance. But we are looking at amounts in terms of Program 1 in the vicinity, and I'm going to round off, 76 million in addition. In terms of Program 2, 126 million in addition. Program 3, 112 in addition. Program 4, 78 in addition. And Program 5, 20 million in addition if I net it off. Those additional amounts to the programs are necessary for one thing, basically. And that is the improvement of conditions of service. Remember, in the Public Service Bargaining Council, an agreement was reached of 6.8%. We provided, according to the Treasury regulations, that receives funds in the MTF for 5.5%, the 1.3% in addition that we will have to fund will have to be provided by means of the adjustments estimate to the department. That is our calculations at this point in time, and I emphasize to members, please, the Treasury must still go through their processes regarding this matter so that we don't sit with the scenario. Then also, we will have to provide, but those are technical aspects within a program for cleaners, which became a labor broker from a labor broker to a permanent appointment, and then also for the local election in essence. Thank you, Chair.
La
Thank you, Chair. Could you just clarify for me? I thought it had been made very clear to us that there were only very special reasons why a person was given a Section 35. And yet, I'm getting the impression here that one can actually choose it because it's financially more beneficial. Well, in which case, why doesn't every person leave 5 years before, take an early retirement, call for a Section 35 and get more money out of the SAPs? Who takes the final decision? I did ask that question earlier. Who takes the final decision? Who took the final decision on the 19 people who were given this special dispensation to get more money when it was then duly given to them? Please just tell me how this system works, because, of course, anyone in their right mind reading this would leave the SAPs 5 years early and call for this Section 35 and take it. I don't know, in fact, why haven't you left? Because this is what's awaiting you, and if you stay your full retirement, you won't get the certain extra amount of money. Or is it that no one will give it to you? I don't understand.
Say the Section 35 benefits more than the ordinary retirement. And my other question is, the lump sum you spoke of, is it tax-free? It's taxable. Thanks.
Jefferson, I know there are still questions outstanding. The one was, this 31 million that is reflected, is this the only expenses? Because yesterday it was explained to us that if a Section 35 is provided, then you have to make a payment to the government pension fund. So what is that amount for these 19? And then the other question still outstanding is the number of people that were under investigation, whether it's internally or externally. Don't have to give us the detail. I just want the number of people, because Chairperson, following those answers, I would like to make another comment.
Thank you, Chair. I think the one on the decisions, General Stammer will deal with. On the GPF payment, we haven't calculated that, Honourable Van Wyk. Normally, what we also do is the actuaries of the fund will do the calculation and then provide us with an indication. Obviously, I don't have it with me at this point in time, and it is. But what it boils down to is the additional years that you have received, and in essence, the monies that they would have invested and the interest. So. The interest payment, you are then actually topping up, if you receive the full 5 years, the 5 years are interest that they would have received by investing the money, or if it's 2 years, the 2 years. I don't have the specific amount which they will normally claim from us, per se, with me, in terms of the GPF payment.
Thanks, Chairperson. The number of people out of the 19 is about four. Four that would have been in some sort of investigation.
Yeah, I must be brutally honest. I don't believe that General Schutte does not know what this amount is, because we're talking about a financial year that's books has been audited. We're not talking about the current financial year. So I don't believe that you don't know what the additional amount is. But give them the benefit of the doubt that we want that answered, Chairperson, and as soon as possible. We need to table our BRR report by Friday, so we need that information before Friday. The second thing, Chairperson, is that General Schutte gave us the figures for the different programs, and he explained why, and he raised the point that we must understand the fact that they still need feedback from Treasury, etc. We understand that perfectly. But I would also urge SAPS to read the requirements for committees around the BRR reports. Because the committee, in terms of BRR reports, which is what we are busy with now, the committees are required to make certain suggestions and findings in terms of the adjustment appropriation that is before Treasury now, and in terms of the budget for next year, in terms of prioritization, in terms of wasteful expenditure, in terms of things that we feel that should not happen. So I would suggest, and maybe General Schutte being the head of finance is the right person to do so, that the department go through the requirements of what is expected of committees in terms of the BRR report, so that they also understand we're not asking this question. We're not grasping it from the air. It's something that is expected of us as parliamentarians to take in consideration when we do the BRR reports. Chairperson, the second thing around the section 35s. I said to General Stander when they left, that there's a third question that I haven't put, and that question is, which post can I apply for that can become redundant in a month so that I can apply for section 35? Jay, I honestly feel that I would not fulfill my duty as a representative of the people if I do not say this. I feel that we need to have a discussion when we meet with the minister around Section 35. I feel that I get the feeling that Section 35, even though creatively you can find reasons to justify it, are used to get rid of problems instead of dealing with the problem. Or let me put it, problematic individuals. I get the feeling that, and I mean, the mere fact that we're talking about four or five individuals that they might be cases against or investigations against, there are some individuals on that list that there were internal investigations against, disciplinary hearings, amounts which are known to us. But I also get a feeling that Section 35s are used when they are to enrich, as to enrich, take the 5 years extra, etc., etc. And I'm very careful when I say this, Jefferson, but I would hate for us to find out that Section 35s are used when there are personality clashes. Because it will come back and haunt the very people who are doing it. Because being in favor on one day, you might find yourself out of favor on the next day. And in my mind, Chairperson, this issue is serious enough for us to also, when we do the SAPS Act, the new SAPS Act that we are supposed to do, because as we all know, SAPS are still functioning under the interim constitution, that we look at the Act, specifically when we deal with that part of it, to further limit the applications of Section 35 in terms of SAPS. For no other reason but to protect the integrity of the organization and the service that we expect the organization to give to the people out there. That would be a firm suggestion, Chairperson, that I would make also in terms of our own BRI report.
Chair, I'm just looking at the list of names here, and there's one person that we were talking about earlier who told us he was retiring last year, General Price, Lieutenant General Price. Now, if you look at the criteria for making use of Section 35, it talks about his or her discharge will promote efficiency or economy in the service. Now, what I fail to understand is, so in that case, it was known he was going to retire. Told us. Now, why would it be, and then in the column next to his name here, they have economy and efficiency. Well, I don't know where the economy comes from. Does it mean that it was far more economic to give him more money and far more efficient? Doesn't make sense to me. I would have, so I'm just saying that, I really don't think this makes sense to me. It does not make sense, and I guess it's for us to ask other questions elsewhere as well as to why this happened. It does not make sense. And I, as I said earlier on this morning, I was saying that I really think we need to be relooking at the ranking system and how ranks are given. It ties in with actually what Honorable Van Baek was saying. Because just as in the ranking system, I like you today, I can give you a rank, and if I don't like the other person, that person will sit for 20 years at the rank that they're at. And I think for me it's a cause for concern.
Thank you. It's just really a follow-up on what Honorable Annelies was saying. And it really only needs a yes or a no. If, and you say there are four of the 19 under investigation, and I suppose this would be a financial matter, if one or all of those four are found to have been guilty of, well, pick a charge, corruption, whatever you're looking into them for, if they're now found guilty, now they've already gone and taken their fat pension and got their huge payouts every month, and they're all very happy, but now they're found guilty. Is there or is there not any way to get the money back? Because they most certainly would not have received this money and this payout had they been found guilty before they left the building. with the money in their pocket. So all I want to know is, can you get the money back or not? And if not, then we understand exactly why these special exemptions are being given to certain people.
Jefferson, thank you. To come back to the issue of who took the final decision, I think this morning I've explained that there is a committee, but the final decision is with the National Commissioner. That authority has not been delegated to any one of us. So the final decision is there. With regard to the 4 or the 19, there is no mechanism at this point in time to ask that money back. So the answer is no.
A person who is a pension, you can't ask her to pay back. You can't.
The Honourable Quillip Barnum's question is justified because she says once on the record. But the fact of the matter is we all know that you can never touch a person's pension. Even if that person is declared bankrupt, you can't touch the person's pension. So these monies are now lost. That's the bottom line.
Very much, members. General Janet, and probably will request CFO to comment. During 2010-11 financial year, in terms of financial resources that were allocated to you, were they enough to enable the department to perform its duties? Were they enough in your own view? Did they enable you to perform your duties? Taking into consideration, of course, that you cannot have 3 trillion rand as a department, but were they adequate for you to perform your duties?
Chair, I think the CFO would be in a better position to comment and respond to this question.
Chairperson, we had a very credible budget allocation which we received from Parliament. Obviously, in certain aspects, one can always say a little bit here and there would have been appreciated, but it was a credible baseline. We've tried to also explain during these legislative oversight hearings that we did indeed achieve in the majority of instances the key spending priorities and deliverables that we indicated to this committee, whether it was personnel, whether it was our capital environment, whether it was Soccer World Cup 2010, whether it was technology, whether it was human resource development, and so forth. If I look at the priorities, the big priorities of the department, the personnel, we expanded sufficiently, and I'm thinking out loud now for myself. If I think of the technology environment and I think at the additions in terms of the IJS and the CJS, I think one would have to see significant growth. So the funding were there in terms of that regard. If I think about the human resource development environment, and although there are challenges, I would say that very credible baselines, those are one of the 3 big priorities which you will also find in the medium-term budget policy statement. If you then add the Soccer World Cup and some others, we must say it is a very credible a budget allocation that we did indeed receive.
I think you've actually answered my other question, which I was going to ask as to where do you think you succeeded as a department, but then where do you think you performed poorly? Which area would you have decided, I mean, regarded as the area where you performed most poorly? And I'm talking to all of you, but I'm asking you.
In terms of the areas where we performed poorly, I think they, we've indicated most definitely that there are challenges within the active environment. I think that is during these hearings that was identified both by the committee and by SAPS management, that most definitely is an area that would need, and we've committed and have identified that as an area that we'll have to focus on, both the detective environment as well as the crime intelligence environment was another area that we felt that those should be of our priorities and that we have not performed that well in that regard, Madam Chair. That's just off the top of my areas that comes to light immediately. I think there are still generally challenges at the level of our, if I can call it the first line of defense, basically at our stations. We've seen that there are significant challenges at that level as well. I think there was issues raised about our SAT 13, our archives, basic command and control. There are those challenges still at, if I can call it, our first line of defense at our stations.
Madam Chair, Honorable Members, it's just to add on what General Dramatev indicated, also in the environment of visible policy, and I think we have indicated, especially when it comes to the administration processes in the field of firearms, is one of those areas that we have indicated that we need to be doing more. Thanks, Madam Chair.
I would agree with all of the previous speakers, Chairperson. I would basically add the qualitative element, especially in terms of the docket scenario. The qualitative, the quality of the docket, maybe, and which impacts on things such as detection, for instance.
The Chairperson, I know you want to close, but I just want to, because they don't have to respond to it now, but they are outstanding questions. The one is the ideal number for detectives. The second one is General Labeer's got away with it for 3 days now. The escapes, the high number of escapes from community service centers. The highest number of your escapes was from community service centers and courts. We need an explanation on that, specifically given the fact that it puts the ordinary member of public in danger at that centre. So those are outstanding questions that I just want to remind them about.
Thanks very much. Just two questions, or two things. The first is I had asked about, in terms of the Section 35s, whether there were other ranks that these are used for. Now, and if we could get some sort of response, whether it's in writing or whatever, but are Section 35s only used for the ranks of Major General and Lieutenant General, Brigadier, or are they used for other ranks below that? And if there are other ranks in these, that should have been reported here, how many are there? And what are the cost implications? But I want to raise another thing which I'd really like to ask if it could be looked into and we could get some feedback on. Last week I raised the issue when we were dealing under administration, I think it was, I forget which program, but we were dealing with the issues of the sectors. And I raised an example of the Honeydew Police Station, where when we had gone there on our accounting visit in July, they had six sectors. About 2 weeks after we'd been there, it suddenly was being reduced to four sectors. Now, I've done, or visible policing, yeah. Now, I've done some homework on that, and I've actually made some inquiries as to what's happening. And I thought I should raise this here. When we were at the Honeydew Police Station, we were told about two satellite stations that are operational. In fact, one that is operational. And we asked to go there. And when we got there, we found that that satellite station was not operational and had not been operational for a number of months. We made a recommendation at the police station that that satellite police station in Cosmo City should be reopened. We were actually given a date when it would be reopened. I can confirm it was reopened on that date. However, what I have found out is that the reason why they've reduced the sectors is because there was this request that that satellite station be reopened. Now, I find that a bit strange because I then also asked further questions. And I was told, no, we don't actually have enough resources, and now all our resources must be sent to the satellite station, and therefore we've reduced the sectors. I've been receiving emails from members of the community who are served in that precinct by that station expressing concern as to why suddenly are these sectors just reduced. And that's why I asked last week, what are the criteria and the rationale for determining a sector? And what criteria and rationale do you use when you suddenly decrease from 6 to 4? I'm raising this because I found it quite alarming when I was told this yesterday, or day before yesterday, that this is the reason. And I have a fear that this portfolio committee will eventually get blamed and told, no, it's because the portfolio committee said that the satellite station must be reopened, therefore we reduce the sectors. And I'm pretty confident that on reducing the sectors, you're going to reduce the response times because now you've got four sectors having to patrol far bigger areas than the six sectors. So I thought I should raise it here. And I'm really asking, can that please be investigated? If it's the case that the Honeydew Police Station doesn't have enough resources, well, that's something we're going to have to engage on, but I'm concerned. And I thought I'm raising it because we went there as a committee, and I'm concerned that now there's a negative connotation to our visit and the request for something to be reopened next year.
Just something that came to me yesterday and I forgot to ask you, and I don't know if there's someone here who can, so perhaps you can just get it in writing. Could you confirm whether or not it's true that at the training colleges, SAPS training colleges, there used to be a pass mark of 50%. Then it was dropped to 48%. And now apparently it's been dropped to 38%. Can you just confirm for us that actually the students who pass out of the SAPS college only need 38% to pass, and that makes them qualified SAPS officers. Thank you.
Jefferson, I think, I just want to associate myself with the statement that you have said by Honourable Member Van Wyk, firstly. And secondly, Jefferson, if I listen carefully to what Joanne Stander was saying, he's saying that although they are in committees, but at the end, the national commissioner decide. Now, I may be putting Joanne Stander on the block here, but I just want to know, is it they take the decision in committee or out of committee? I hope I'm understood. Is it the decision is taken in committee or out of committee? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Mine is only on the issue of resources and especially the vehicles, and also on response time. Because when we were there in Bloemspruit, the community was complaining about the response time from the police. So I just want to find out how are they going to actually tackle that kind of a challenge, because it is not only in Bloemspruit, it is actually affecting many areas. So how are you going to deal with that kind of a situation so that we give service to the community to restore that respect from the communities? Thank you.
Thank you, members. Some of the questions will not be responded to here now. Will be responded to in writing not later than morning, 9 o'clock on Friday, if possible, email. However, I would request that Commissioner Stander, you request to the question on PASMAC for sub-members. What is their PASMAC?
Listen, I will respond to that in writing. As far as I know, it's 50%. It's definitely not 38% or 38%, but I'll have to check with the training HRD, and I will give it to you in writing. But as far as I know, it's not been reduced.
Because definitely 35-38% is dismal. There isn't any way where 38, anything below 40% would be regarded as a pass. Even 40% is never regarded as a pass, but probably will enable you to challenge the immediate examination, the supplementary exams. So if you fail between 50 and 40, you are probably eligible to sit for the supplementary exam. But if it is below 40, you can't even sit for the supplementary exam. You've got to redo the year. That would be what is happening in all other tertiary institutions. I've never been there, however, I think that is what they do. I want to close now. General Mufumi, where to from now? Where is the department going?
Chairperson, as Honorable Chairperson, I think in terms of where the department is going, the main reason for the existence of the police is service delivery. Even though we, you know, talk about a lot of things that are happening inside the department, but we need to be making a difference out there to the community. I even want to say to the taxpayers. So my view is that as a management of the department, we need to go back and really relook at everything that we have been doing, all the systems and processes that we have internally, and you know, take what we have had here, and some of the matters that we discussed here are also discussed in amongst ourselves. But to say, in terms of the whatever efforts and as I said, systems and processes that we have. Probably from the question that was asked to my colleagues as to where did we perform poorly, we need to relook at our systems and processes, our management efforts, and be able to say where can we improve. So I think basically we need to relook and say we want to improve so that we can make a difference to the people out there, Madam Chair.
General Stramat, do you want to make closing remarks?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Perhaps just to appreciate the session over the past few days, that we were able to account and reflect on what we've achieved and what our where we did not achieve, as well as the engagement with the committee in terms of the questions. I mean, out the issues that was raised by the committees, also things as a management that we've also have identified as weaknesses or shortcomings. And the challenge for us is how do we begin to develop strategies and processes to improve, so that we are able to deliver safety to our communities. We just want to thank the committee for the engagement, and all the challenges highlighted, we are going to be taking them forward in terms of improving our services to our communities. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Let me take this one other opportunity to, on behalf of the Portfolio Committee, but myself as chairperson, to thank you for having been here since last week. The Minister of Police, Honorable Nathi Mthethwa, in the statement in the sub-annual report says, and I quote, the 2010-11, the winning of war against crime demands more than just a passion. It demands a systematic understanding and implementation of detailed plans and techniques in the actual conditions facing us. It demands a sober assessment of the obstacles in our way. It demands dominance in our thinking of achievement over drama. Unquote. The Minister further states that whilst we are aware that the issue of crime cannot be addressed by the police alone, we equally recognize that the police have a central role to play in addressing crime. For the year 2010-11, the Department of Police received a budget to the tune of plus minus 53 billion rand. This is the budget which some of the departments in South Africa would never get in their lifetime. It is in this spirit that as the Portfolio Committee, we decided that we cannot over a day or even 2 days deal with such a budget. The budget allocated this year to program administration, which was about 23 billion rand, is not a budget for some of the departments. They are getting far less than that. Budget allocated to visible policing, which was around 18 billion rand. Some of the departments aspire to get that budget. They will never get it. The budget for detectives, which was around about 8 billion rand, is a budget which some of the departments do not have. And it is in the spirit that we cannot deal with these programs over hours and then say we have dealt with the annual report for the Department of Police. And it is in this spirit that we decided that we're going to take each program per day so that we do our work as the Portfolio Committee to our satisfaction, but further to make the department aware that whatever decisions that it takes, it has to account for those decisions. During these 3 days, quite a number of issues have been raised. The very first issue, which as we are seated here, we think that it definitely needs the minister's response, is the matter related to the irregular expenditure. In this regard, we are going to invite the minister. We believe that it cannot be that the previous financial year the department had incurred plus minus 3 billion rand, in fact 3 million rand, and it increases debt to 76 million rand. It is not something that we can promote, and as such we want the minister to come and appear before the Portfolio Committee. If Parliament approves our request, that will be next week on the 26th.
coupled with that, the issue that we think the minister is, he is accountable to parliament as a member of the executive, as an individual, but also as collective. We believe that he has to appear before the Petroleum Committee to explain this whole issue around Section 35 of the SARS Act. We are of the strong view that this section is actually beginning to be abused and misused. We believe that there is no way we can allow a situation where people incur cost unnecessarily. And therefore the minister will have to come and appear before the portfolio committee to explain this. We also are of the strong view that the so-called advertise, remove or withdraw and appoint policy needs to be explained to the portfolio committee by the minister. Reports that have been given to the chairperson, as I have gone through them, they are not confirming any exceptional circumstances that could have led or led to this being applied. We therefore will want to know as to whether the minister was aware of this, but also because these positions, many of them or some of them are at the level of DDG, if indeed cabinet was involved or for some cabinet will not normally be involved in such appointments. We expect the minister to explain as to what were the implications for other members who could have qualified to apply and also to be considered in this position. These are therefore the three matters that we think the minister will have to appear before the portfolio committee for and give explanation so that the portfolio committee on its own can decide. Based on this information that is before the portfolio committee, particularly that which is talking to appointments, resignations, and so on, we are seriously worried about the appointments that are going on as we speak. We're not very sure as to whether should we not, as we sit as the portfolio committee, recommend to the minister that until he appears before the portfolio committee, no appointment is made by the department, so that we are satisfied that procedures and processes as laid down are followed from A to Z. We agree with the department on the issues related to detectives. Let me explain the very fact that we're not saying detectives are not doing their work. As a matter of fact, under the circumstances, they are trying their level best. For the mere fact that when we go to police stations, some of the detectives are yet to receive their very 2 weeks of basic training. However, they are trying to do that work related to detectives. And for us, that should be commended. We do believe that there is a need for the department to channel resources, energies, and everything towards this aspect, which is detective. We believe that if we do not do that, this might actually undermine the good work that we are doing. I therefore will actually move to the department that you look into this matter so that when you appear before the portfolio committee next time around, we are able to say, indeed, this is what we have done and this is what we are going to do going forward. Personally, because we are still going to discuss this at the portfolio committee, I'm of the strong view that even if we were to go to police station and in a total of 20 detectives, we are told that maybe 13 are undertaking the course or training, and the rest is remaining and therefore is a skeleton staff, we will be prepared to tolerate that for as long as immediately after that we are going to have detectives that can perform. I agree fully with you that even if we do not go into details in as far as issues related to crime intelligence, but there are serious symptoms and signs that are indicating a dysfunctional program. The mere fact that the head of crime intelligence is being suspected for serious crime, person who followed is moved, and so on and so forth. In fact, the list will seem to be endless. Might actually be talking to serious challenges that are in that area of work. And when that is the case, we think that has a potential to undermine what we have achieved so far. And therefore, we are actually of the strong view that this management should look into this matter and correct those issues and the problems that are engulfing this program. You've raised the issues related to firearms. We will know when the management is attending to this because we go to police stations. I can say here and now that we definitely will be going to provinces such as Free State in the near future, as well as Eastern Cape. When we go there, we are going to be there at least not less than 2 weeks, because we believe that there are challenges, particularly in Free State. And as a matter of fact, Free State, Northwest, I think Western Cape as well, they performed poorly in terms of crime statistics, and we will be focusing on this three or four provinces. Firearms, Commissioner Dramat, need to be looked after. I want to believe that Honorable Kroonewald said when he was, I don't know whether on training, he was told that as a soldier or a policeman, you have two wives. The first one is your wife, the second one is your firearm. I want to believe that this should be the culture that is inculcated in the minds of members, that this is your wife. You can't lose it. No one sitting here will want to lose his wife, nor his husband or her husband. The issues related to police stations, for us, just one matter, management. If we were to correct that, all the issues that we are raising here at station level will be corrected. It takes a good manager to change a dysfunctional police station to a functional police station. She's taken, for instance, in my area, Commissioner Kaba, to change a completely dysfunctional Elukwadeni police station to a functional police station. And I'm not suggesting, not in 100 ways, that it does not have problems. But it is a police station, it has a station commander who is prepared to work. And she's doing her best to see that this station working. And it is working today. So it takes a manager to manage this police station and change the police station for the better. We believe that the management, as it said yesterday, that issues related to decentralization of FSL, personally, I believe it's a wrong decision in many ways, unless we are informed exactly as to what measures have been put in place to ensure that we do not come back here with yet another Section 13 stores, with yet another firearms that are poorly managed and so on. What are the measures that have been put in place? We believe that FSL controlled and managed and being the responsibility of national FSL is the right way to go for now, unless, of course, we are told otherwise. We are of the strong view that the department should review this decision or explain to the portfolio committee as to what measures have it put in place to ensure that we do not have disintegrating FSL services yet again in the country. Can I say here that Commissioner Tramat, the introduction of SCS units throughout the country is the best decision taken by SAC. In this regard, we really want to congratulate the department. And we believe that the budget that we approved as Parliament was worth being approved. We believe that crimes against women and children and other vulnerable groups should continue to be the focus of the department. These vulnerable groups still suffer abuse from many quarters, and most of them, they are not, those cases or crimes are not reported. And therefore, the portfolio committee in the next annual report or even budget cycle will want to feel and see more emphasis in terms of budget, training, victim support centers, and probably more SCS units being established. We appreciate the work that you have done in the implementation of Child Justice Act, Domestic Violence Act. However, there's still a need for more work. We have requested the department to inform the portfolio committee if there are areas that it feels that they are difficult for subs to implement, to raise those with the portfolio committee so that we can actually check if it is not necessary for us to review that or those acts. We appreciate the fact that we are meeting here with the department this time around following the release of crime statistics. Can I mention the fact that even during this year in question, crime in South Africa had gone down. Murder at the time, we were saying it was for the first time since 1995 or so that it was recorded below 17,000. However, this time around, we are actually saying below 16,000. We know for a fact that these things do not happen on their own. And we know for a fact that they do not just come because the portfolio committee has said 1, 2, 3, but it is because there are people who are out there who are doing the work. And for that, as members of the portfolio committee, on behalf of the people of South Africa, we want to thank you very much. We will continue to appreciate the work that SAPS members are performing. We have agreed that we'll want to get more information and be briefed on TETRA, on PKM. We have agreed that this time around, if it goes according to the plan of the portfolio committee, we'll want to be on site like TETRA, we'll want to be in the Eastern Cape and see exactly what it is all about, and PKM be where it is being implemented. And then we'll try to make follow-ups on. Can I therefore, on behalf of this portfolio committee, thank you all for being here, and probably take the opportunity to thank the National Commissioner. We've not had up to so far, and going forward, I want to believe in a chance where we start by saying, where is the National Commissioner in our meeting? It does happen in other committees that the portfolio committee will want to sit and the accounting officer is not there. If there's one thing that we've not done as this portfolio committee is to, we have to close the meeting because the department has sent junior personnel to appear before the portfolio committee. Each time the National Commissioner will not be able to attend, he in person will talk to the chairperson and they will agree before the meeting that he will not be in the meeting. And that is highly appreciated for the National Commission. We do believe that during the past 4 or 5 days, we've had heated debates that we've raised issues. It is because we ourselves are expected to do our work. According to the Constitution, we are expected to hold the department, in fact, the executive, PFMA, through the accounting officer, accountable of what they are doing. Sometimes we ask questions expecting clarity, not because we think there's something wrong. And sometimes the answers will lead us to making conclusions that there might be something wrong. There have been moments in this committee, before this portfolio committee, where some members of the, sub-members appeared and have been very exceptionally good in giving and providing answers. I can actually list a number of meetings, but indeed, there have been meetings where you just don't want to be in the meeting. We therefore want to thank you for the work that you're doing. We want to thank this management for providing leadership in a department that is not easy to lead. Nobody would easily thank SAPS for the good work that you are doing. Anything that happens in this country related to crime, sometimes not even related to crime, SAPS are blamed. Protest for service delivery by municipalities, SAPS are blamed. Bails that are granted randomly, SAPS are blamed. However, we think we have to commend you for the good work that you are doing. Yet, we will never, as this portfolio committee, hesitate to tell you when you are not doing well. And on a number of issues that we raised here, there are those that we are excited about, but there are those that we are extremely unhappy about. And we will not hesitate to tell the department where we are not happy and where we are happy. In any event, we are not volunteering, as we said. We are doing our work for which we are paid. Our salaries may not be that good. However, we are really paid and are satisfying us to keep us going and actually to do our work. I want to thank everybody who is here and say we'll meet again in the future. I don't believe we'll be meeting. Yeah, I think there will be some meetings. And we have sent our program for these 10th meetings. And we will request that you continue to give us documents on time so that as a portfolio committee, we can prepare properly. Therefore, we want to thank you, General Dramat, General Mufume, General Sanda, General Libia, General Mazibugo, General Skete. I'm not sure that I've mentioned you all, and our liaison officer here, for appearing before the Portfolio Committee and still for being here up to now. And I lastly want to thank the members of the Portfolio Committee. I don't believe that in Parliament any chairperson would not want to have members such as the ones that the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police have. You know, you are always on top of the situation and ready to do your work. And really, I just want to thank you. And in this regard, I'm referring to all members of the Portfolio Committee, irrespective of political parties, because really, I wish I could tell even the leaders of all parties that please don't disturb our Portfolio Committee, because we have gone so far to create something that other committees have not achieved. And I think we have achieved something good as this Portfolio Committee. That of wanting to be in the Portfolio Committee, that of wanting to do the work. Can I say again, this is one of the Portfolio Committees that has never, not once, asked people to come and assist when adopting anything. We are always there in our numbers, meeting the quorum to adopt anything. We are always there on Fridays, 9 o'clock at night, to do our work. No chairperson has that luck, as I think I have. In that regard, I want to thank you all, and this meeting is closed.